so many feelings of grief and confusion and shock. And it's a deeply personal moment for Mary. She hears Jesus call her by name. And as she hears her name, she turns. And in that moment, her whole world turns. And in that moment, I want to suggest this morning that actually the whole of history turns. That as she turns to look at Jesus, it is the turning point of history. And that's what I want to call this talk this morning. Because this story starts early in the morning on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. It's still dark and Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb and she is grieving the death of Jesus. She is mourning the death of the one that she's given her life to. And we remembered that on what's called Good Friday. And as she arrives at the tomb, she sees something unexpected. And she sees that the stone that was covering the tomb has been rolled away. And not only that, she sees that the tomb is empty, that the body of Jesus has gone. And she panics and she runs back to find Peter and what we can probably assume is John. Throughout the whole of the Gospel of John, he writes about himself as the one whom Jesus loved. Isn't that an amazing way to identify yourself? I'm just so loved by Jesus. That's the encounter he had. And I love this moment in the Gospel because you see male, not just male, but human competitiveness. Because it says in the passage that Peter and the other disciple ran to the tomb and the other disciple got there first. And then it says later on that because he ran faster. Just a little dig at Peter, which I love that in the Gospels. Just really human. Let me just get a little dig in there at Peter, my brother, that John gets there first. And so they run to this tomb. And Mary fears, it says, that someone has stolen Jesus' body. She says to these two disciples, they have taken him and we don't know where they've put him. So she fears that not only now has Jesus died, but the body has been taken and hidden. And here we see the first turning that we have when we encounter Jesus. And it's the turning upside down. That the world is turned upside down. And for many of you in the room, you will actually see that as a positive. That our world is turned, when we encounter Jesus, our world is turned upside down. But actually the truth of it as well is that our world can be turned upside down and we can still come to Jesus. We don't have to have our life completely perfect in order to come to Jesus. Nothing has to make sense. It doesn't have to be all lined up and we've behaved in the perfect way and been the perfect person to be able to come to Jesus. When our world is upside down, he still invites us to turn towards him. And here we see the first turning, because Mary's world is upside down. The Savior she followed, the one who meant everything to her, the one who, when she first encountered him earlier in this story, healed her, is now not only what she thinks is dead, but the body has been taken. She is filled with grief and confusion. Everything she knew has been turned upside down. She doesn't understand what's happening. Standing before the empty tomb, she feels like everything she thought she knew about life and death and Jesus has been shattered. How often do we experience those moments in our life? Moments of grief, moments of confusion. It might feel like our whole world has turned upside down. Like everything we believed in now just lies on the floor and it makes very little sense. Maybe some here find themselves in a place where things make a lot less sense this year than it did last year. Everything we hoped in, maybe life hasn't gone to plan. Mary stands at the empty tomb, grieving, confused, and lost. She doesn't have it all together. Her world is upside down. Too often people think to come to Jesus, we need to have our life sorted. That once I get my life sorted, then Jesus will accept me. If I can clear myself up, then Jesus will love me. But the reality of Mary here is her life is upside down and she's coming to search out for Jesus. For others, maybe we know Jesus, but we fear in those moments when he seems distant that it's because we've done something wrong. That we've come to the empty tomb in our brokenness and he's disappeared because he doesn't want to be anywhere near us. Mary didn't have it all together. But she meets Jesus as the first person to see him risen. And when she first encountered him earlier in this story, she was consumed with seven demons. Her life was a mess. Jesus saw her in her brokenness and accepted her and saved her. And in this moment at the empty tomb, she spent time with Jesus. She doesn't have it all together, but she's here. And in this moment, Mary is about to encounter the truth that will turn her life around forever. Peter and John immediately run to the tomb after they hear from Mary, and they find it empty and the linen cloths are lying there. For many in this room, as we celebrate this morning, the empty tomb is good news. Can you imagine what it was like for Peter? For those that don't know, Peter, the last time he looked at Jesus and Jesus looked at him, he denied him three times. He said, I don't know him, don't know who he is, don't want anything to do with him. Now not only is Jesus dead, can you imagine the words on the cross for Peter? We celebrate the words that Jesus says, it is finished, knowing that everything we've done that separates us from God no longer separates us. But for Peter, it's like, I've just denied Jesus and now it's over. The tomb is now empty. Peter's hope might be dead in this moment. His world is upside down. John is described as believing in verse 8. But when we see that the tomb is empty, we see that his belief isn't yet complete. He tries to make sense of it all. That's a really funky tune. So for Peter and John, we see that there might be an element of belief there, but it doesn't all make sense. And when we come to Jesus, it doesn't all make sense, but there's an invitation to turn. And our world is upside down. The second turn is this that we see in this story. It's the turn from back to front. How often do we leave things unresolved? Relationships, emotions, those things in our life, trying to understand the mysteries of life, but maybe we miss the very thing that stood right in front of us. In her grief, Mary looks into the tomb, and she sees two angels. She is so overwhelmed with grief that even angels couldn't console her. And we see that they speak to her in verse 13. It says, they asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. It's the turn from back to front. In that moment, Jesus calls her by name, Mary. And in that instant, everything changes because she sees Jesus and she cries out, Rabboni, teacher. Mary's turning here is so much more than just a physical movement. What we see in this moment is a turning of a heart from grief to joy, from confusion to clarity, from searching to finding. And that is the turn that happens when we get invited to see Jesus, to see the reality of who he is in the midst of our life that might be turned upside down. The one she thought was lost is now alive. The whole understanding of life and death and the future is transformed in this moment. But here's the thing. Mary's turning is not just about her. Mary's turning is the turning point of the whole world. When she turned and found that Jesus is alive, the whole of history turns with her in that moment. In that discovery, everything has changed. Death no longer has the final say. Hope has been restored. The tomb is empty, and that is good news because his body hasn't been taken. He's risen again. See, we can keep Jesus just behind us if we want to. We can keep him standing off there, and we can turn to him in moments of need and then turn back away again. Or the invitation of the resurrection day is to turn 180 degrees, to look at him, to see him risen, and say, yes, you are the Son of God, the Savior of humanity, risen from the dead. And in that moment, Jesus calls her by name. He knows each one of us by name. He desires each one of us by name. And here's the third turn. See the turn in upside down, back to front. And the final turn that we see in this story is the turn inside out. Let me just read this from John 20, 17. It says, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me. She's turned around and she's looked at him. He's called her by name. Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. Jesus tells Mary not to hold on to him. Maybe because he knows that we would rather keep him with us where we are than let him take us where he's going. He's going into the presence of God. The invitation of Jesus is into the very presence of God. And Jesus said, I've not ascended yet to the Father. So instead of holding on to me, he commissions her and he says, go with a message. Go to my brothers, tell them I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene is the first person commissioned with the good news of Jesus. And this is profound because actually at this time, a woman's testimony in court had no holding whatsoever. And Jesus says, that's not the way that God does things. I'm going to release this woman into ministry. And she's going to be the apostle to the apostles because God always turns things round. And Mary's mission marks the moment that the resurrection is no longer a personal revelation, but it's a message for the world. I have seen the Lord, she proclaims. What an amazing testimony in that moment. This is the turning inside out. When the transformation we encounter inside turns outside to the world that God is longing to reach with his love. Mary's turning is the first ripple in the ocean of the resurrection that will soon spread to all the disciples and eventually to the very ends of the earth. And we're part of that. We're part of the ends of the earth. We're part of the ones that have been reached because Mary turned. And in that moment, the whole of history turned. And the history of many of us in this room turned in that moment. And life has never been the same again since. There's an opportunity today for some of you. Maybe you've kept Jesus at a distance behind you. Maybe you've never, ever turned to look. The invitation of this resurrection day is to turn as Mary turned, as so many in this room have turned, and see our life completely changed by the one who is no longer dead, but is alive. Redefines history. Mary runs and tells the others. And we read on in verse 19, it says, on that evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples stood together, they were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. They have locked themselves out of fear. They are shut out behind closed doors. They're still grappling with disbelief and confusion. And there's a turning here for the disciples as Jesus came and stood among them. And they turn and see him say, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. There is no doubt what happened. There is no doubt that he died. There is no doubt that he rose again. After he said this, he showed him his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And in this moment, the disciples' hearts are turned upside down, back to front and inside out. From fear to boldness, from hiding to proclaiming. They are now commissioned, like we are commissioned, like Mary was commissioned, to go and share the good news that Jesus is risen with the world. Their understanding of Jesus' mission turns as they realize they are now part of his story, part of his plan to bring resurrection life to everyone. Peter, he once denied Jesus. Now he boldly preaches to thousands at Pentecost, which we'll celebrate in a few weeks' time. Thomas, who doubted, becomes one of the strongest witnesses to the resurrection. These lives are completely turned around. These disciples that were once fearful and uncertain are transformed and become the very foundation of the church that so many in this room are now part of. It's the turning point of history. When Mary turns, when the disciples turn, the world turns. Mary's turning is a really personal one, but it's part of a much bigger story. The entire world's turning towards the hope of resurrection. And as she turns, the whole world turns from death to life. And the invitation of this day is that we get to turn, that we don't have to live in that direction all of the time. We can turn and face the one who redefines everything, who's closed the gap, who says, you don't need to be off in a distance anymore. I want you close. I know you by name. Turn to me. Just like Mary, Jesus calls us by name. When we turn to him, everything changes. Why? Because he is risen. That's what we celebrate today. And when we turn towards him, we become part of the mission to share that resurrection hope with the world. We're going to spend a few moments praying, but I want to say if anyone wants to speak to me a little bit more about that at the end of the service, come and chat. There's no pressure to do anything on this day, but if you want to talk a bit more, maybe you want to go away and explore a little bit more, I can send you some stuff that you might want to read that can help. Maybe you're not interested in that, but what I would say is, if this even remotely intrigues you, don't be shut off to it. Maybe spend a little bit of time exploring for yourself. What's this all about? because the invitation to turn is there for each one of us. Let's close our eyes. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to invite some others to come and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the incredible gift of your resurrection that we get to celebrate today. Thank you for calling us by name. And today we thank you that we see that that invitation is to each of us to turn towards you, that your arms are open, you accept and you love. Help us to experience the transformation that we read about with Mary and the disciples. And as we turn to you, may we share the hope of the resurrection with all those around us. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I just want to invite those who are going to pray this morning just to come forward.
Dear God, we lift up those who are experiencing loss, facing grief and confusion, like Mary did in the darkness of the sorrow. Call them by name. Turn their world from upside down to right side up with your comforting presence. May they feel your resurrection power bringing hope even in their darkness moments. Remind them that you understand grief and you have overcome it. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we pray for those in need of healing today, whether in body, mind or spirit. Just as you transformed Mary's tears into joy, transform pain into wholeness for those suffering. We ask that you would stand behind them and call their name, turning them from their focus on what is broken to see you, the healer, standing near. May your resurrection power flow through their lives, bringing restoration and new life. Amen.
Lord Jesus, like Mary, who ran to tell others, I have seen the Lord. We pray for those who are seeking to reach with your good news. Turn us inside out so that your love flows through us to them. Give us boldness like the disciples received. May those who don't yet know you hear your calling their name, turning from darkness to light. Use us as your messengers of resurrection hope in the world that desperately needs to experience the turning point of history in their lives and in their own lives. Amen.